Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It would be enormous because this has been the team name since 1915, but the Cleveland ownership signaled its discomfort with the name a few years ago when it did remove the Chief Wahoo logo. I think, as Adam said about the Redskins, if you put out a statement like this, it's inevitable that there's going to be change with this name. And I also think it's inevitable that the name on baseball's MVP trophy is going to change. It's currently named for Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who was baseball's commissioner for almost a quarter century. And during that time, baseball remained segregated. He had a hand in that, and there is an absolutely perfect and easy solution. Put the name of Frank Robinson on the award. He's the only player in baseball history who won that award in both leagues. But the late Greg Hall of Famer was also known as one of baseball's great leaders. He was the first African-American manager for the Cleveland Indians in Major League Baseball history. Yesterday, I talked with his longtime teammate, Jim Palmer, also a Hall of Famer, who said this would be a great idea.
All right, so that's Buster Olney from ESPN. The Indians, the latest team where they're considering a name change.
Is that offensive? When I asked that question, I don't know. Redskins, I understand that that is probably offensive to most people, especially Native Americans.
Right.
Indians, does that need to be changed? I don't know. Is that offensive?
Well, I think it's the part that...
I understand the Chief Wahoo thing and changing that around.
Like cartoon.
Maybe changing the logo, but is in... I was just talking to Nick, our producer, about it. You know, where do you stop? Where does this end? Do Seminoles go away? Do Chiefs go away? I'm trying to think of another one.
Blackhawks.
Do the Chicago Blackhawks, does that go away? I don't know.
Right. Well, I think with the Indians, it's because, you know, they're not, it's Native Americans. They're not from India. So maybe that's why they just feel like it's misconstrued, and that's why they feel.
Indians is a no-no term. I should not say that anymore.
Apparently not.
Okay.
Apparently not. And your point originally to the Redskins, obviously that one is something that they've been trying to fight for years, and organizations been the past couple of decades. I mean, it can really only help them by changing the name. I mean, it can't hurt them.
Well, we talked about this yesterday with Rob. You changed the name to the Washington, the Watergates. I don't know, whatever. You're going to sell $18 gazillion worth of brand new merchandise. To me, it was just one of those hills that a stubborn, stupid owner like Daniel Snyder wanted to, as you said, he wanted to die on that hill. He didn't want to change the name, and now he's being forced to because of the almighty dollar between FedEx and now Pepsi and other sponsors as well. And a lot of us thought it wasn't going to occur until 2021. They will not be the Washington Redskins this year. There's absolutely zero chance that they will be called the Washington Redskins this year.
No chance. Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you. If you want to join us, 617-779-7937. So to your point, for basically, as you alluded to, the fact that he wanted to keep this name for so long, he actually is going to benefit from it. His organization is going to benefit it because it's hoodies, it's hats, it's sweatshirts, it's jerseys, all this stuff they're going to get to make, and the fan base is going to buy them because they're going to want upgrades on what they had before. And probably a lot of people now, the way the 2020 has gone, they're throwing out their stuff already today.
How many people over the last year have been buying Washington Redskins stuff? If you're a Redskins
fan. Dwayne Haskins' parents?
Yeah, maybe that's about it. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the nickname necessarily. It has to do with the fact that the team has just been a damn disgrace for the last 15 years. But you change the name, maybe you change the culture of the team, you change the culture of the organization, people start buying merch. It's a huge win-win for Daniel Snyder. But Daniel Snyder is not your everyday, average, normal owner.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a complete buffoon. And
yes.
More evidence of that was this release that the team sent out. So Daniel Snyder, this is what he says, his part of this statement. Quote, this process allows the team to take into account not only the proud tradition and the history of the franchise, but also input from our alumni, the organization, sponsors, the National Football League, and the local community is proud to represent on and off the field. So he says they're talking to former players,
yep,
the organization itself, people inside the building, sponsors, obviously, because
that's number one.
They're telling them to do this, and the local community. You know what I don't hear in there? Native Americans.
Well, they have done, and I obviously I can't remember it off the top of my head, because I've done shows where we've had this discussion before, and there have been polls, there have been stories where Native American groups have said, "No, doesn't bother us." I don't know whether that's a sample size of 5,000 or 500 or 10,000 or 100 or whatever it is, but I've seen polls like that in the past when this has become a story.
Yeah, there was one in 2016 that the Washington Post did where it said 90% of Native Americans weren't offended by the name. A poll that and it's the Washington Post, which leans left, so you would think if they were going to fabricate those numbers, it would be
the other way around,
exactly. So, but and we mentioned like the sponsors, how the sponsors are basically the reason they're doing this. They're threatening it. I don't want to give like FedEx too much credit for this, because if you go back to 2014, the Oneida tribe of Wisconsin asked FedEx shareholders to reconsider naming rights, but they didn't. So like FedEx now is saying 6 years later, and with the temperature of where the country's at right now,
finding out which way the wind is blowing.
Exactly. So now they're willing to come out and say, hey, I think we should change the name, because everybody's going to back the movement now to change the name. Like this was a story for years, and there's been a lot of people that have talked about it for a number of years, but it hasn't been a large majority. It hasn't been a massive group that was super interested in this story. And now that we're at the point that we are in this country, this is obviously being on the right side of the argument, if you will, where everybody's going to be on the side of changing the name. So I just want to make it clear, like some of these sponsors, yeah, they're just doing it because they don't want to look bad.
Right. They're doing it for the almighty dollar. FedEx is doing it because they're saying, well, wait a minute. It's bad business for us to be associated with a team called the Redskins. So let's stand up and let's stand out and say, hey, we're against this name. We want to change. Well, where the hell were you 5 years ago, FedEx? Where the hell were you 2 years ago, Pepsi? Where were you, you know, whatever sponsors the Washington Redskins have? They will be called, even if they are still technically the Redskins, there will not be an announcer doing a game, maybe save for their local radio. Maybe Snyder has power and has push and says, you're still calling us the Redskins. As long as we're called the Redskins, you're calling us that. But in terms of national broadcasts, in terms of newspaper writing, you won't see Redskins. You'll just see Washington Football or the Washington Footballers or whatever it is. I'd be surprised if they had a new nickname this quickly, this early this year, but they won't call them the Redskins.
2015, he told USA Today, Daniel Snyder, we'll never change the name. It's that simple. He also said they asked him, and he did an interview with OTL, Outside the Lines.
Yeah.
He said, a Redskin is a football player. A Redskin is our fans. The Washington Redskins fan base represents honor, represents respect, represents pride. It's just historical truths, and I'd like them to understand, as I think most do, the name really means honor and respect. So you're going to tell, even if it's a small minority of a group that's offended by something, you're telling them what it should mean to them instead of the other way around.
Right.
And that's the issue that he brought
up. Unless he's getting that from the various polls that they're doing, and we don't know how slanted those polls are. The 90%. We don't know how slanted those polls are.
Yeah, the one thing I look at is, it's a team name. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't this big, massive thing. It's a team name.
Yeah, but we're talking about a stubborn idiot in Daniel Snyder. I think if you're looking at a Bob Kraft, if you're looking at a Ziggy Wilf in Minneapolis, or maybe even one of the most stubborn owners, Jerry Jones, I think you might see a change, or you might see a softening of their feelings as opposed to what you're getting out of a guy like Daniel Snyder. I mean, Daniel Snyder, you can make the argument. Tell me who's a worse owner in the National Football League than Daniel Snyder.
He's number one. You can go after Mike Brown with the Bengals because he doesn't...
Yeah, okay, fine, one or the other.
He doesn't spend money, but to your point, Daniel Snyder spends money, but he just does it horribly. He gives Haynesworth a huge contract.
But he's also a D-bag. Stories, when Deadspin was actually good... If you read the stories that Deadspin used to write about... RG3, Tony Wiley, who was their PR guy, I think it is. Just story after story of how dysfunctional and just how much of a... Not just dysfunctional, it's one thing to be dysfunctional. Mark Davis is dysfunctional. I don't think that Mark Davis is an a-hole.
No.
Daniel Snyder's
he's
an a-hole.
A bad haircut.
Right, he's just dysfunctional with a bad haircut. Daniel Snyder is just a dink, period.
Yeah, and to your point about Daniel Snyder, so they drafted RG3, and to prove just what an idiot this guy is, they had the Shanahans there, and RG3, after his rookie of the year season, his best season in the NFL, he told him he didn't want to run anymore. He didn't want to run. Okay, he wanted to take that out of his repertoire. So he went to Daniel Snyder, who he had freedom to just go talk to Daniel Snyder, override the coaches, and he said that, and Daniel Snyder told the coaches they had to do this. So RG3 goes into a meeting, it's documented, and he points to the plays that he's running, and he says, we're not doing this anymore. So that's the guy that's in charge of this team. He's not going to get it right. Let's get to Kelly. He's in Amherst. Kelly, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show today.
Hi, Kelly.
So
thanks,
actually, dude. What's up, guys? So, yeah, I actually spent the first 20 years of my life in D.C. That's where I grew up. So just to give the angle... real quick, it's just lame because it's like they already changed the Bullets into the Wizards, and that's so corny. You know what I mean? So it's like, to change this to something corny is like, I get it, you know what I mean? Like, Redskin sounds pretty offensive to me. And even like that poll about, oh, they said 90% of Native Americans are not against it, and they actually think it's pretty cool. Like, hey, yeah, you know, they're giving us props. Still, that's 10% of a lot of people that are offended. And to me, that's enough. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, like, oh, a certain percent of people are offended by, you know, let's say, use the N-word or something. It's like, oh, well, 80% of black people are cool with the N-word. It's like, hey, you don't get that option. You know, as long as some amount of people are offended by it.
So what's the number? But what's the number then, Kelly? If 2% of people are offended by the word Big Mac, do you change the word Big Mac?
You know, I think if the Big Mac was called, you know, the yellow skin or something, then yeah, they would, you know. I don't know if Big Mac is a good analogy.
Well, no, but you're saying 10% as opposed to 90%. What's the number?
I'm just saying.
Is 2%, if 2% of people out there are offended by Redskin, you change the name?
But you said what people, if it's the actual people. If 2% of white people are offended by it, no, who cares? And I do think that's a problem now where a lot of white people are getting offended for other people. I'm not talking about the Black Lives Matter movement.
That.
But I think in general, I think that does happen. But if you're saying that 10% of Native Americans are offended by it, that's a big deal. But my point actually is real quick on Snyder. He is totally a jerk, but you guys might be missing that when he bought the Redskins, it was a huge deal. It was like $600 million. It was way more than any other team. I forget the real number, but it was way more than any other team at that time. They were actually and have been a very marketable franchise. Maybe not the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know. But for whatever reason, people like that logo. They like the history.
Because of the history.
So Snyder didn't want to change because you guys are thinking all the people in D.C. will get new stickers for their cars. Sure, yeah, they will. But do all the people around the country that buy this stuff for whatever reason, you know, maybe they're racist. I don't know.
Kelly, my guess, thanks for the phone call. My guess is, based on the culture that we're in, I'm not seeing a lot of people buying Redskins merchandise.
Yeah.
I'm kind of guessing that your average white guy out there who's a football fan, not buying the Redskins jersey now based on the culture that we're in.
Right, and the reason they do have this fan base is because they had that legendary run with Joe Gibbs.
They don't have that anymore.
Right.
They can't freaking sell out their own games.
Yeah, I don't see like the popularity of Washington right now. Like, when I look at the teams that you would consider national brands in the NFL, I don't list them off. I would list the Steelers, the Raiders, even though they've sucked. They're a national brand, right? Yep. And the Steelers, Patriots. I said the Packers, and I think the Patriots, and the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
So, like, those are the national brands to me right now. I don't see Washington as a national brand of the NFL. It's not like the Lakers in the NBA or some the Celtics the, in the NBA.
The Washington Redskins were one of the most marketable, well-known franchises and all well-respected franchises in all of sports, and that has all gone down the dumper over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, when they had the Hogs and that whole group. But yeah, I mean, it's at a time now where he's not going to win this fight anymore as Daniel Snyder, and he's going to have to change the name. That's the bottom line. There's no way out of this for Daniel Snyder. I mean, he's gonna lose all his sponsors.
Yes. In the end, he's going to win because he's going to keep his sponsors. He's going to get more sponsors. He's going to change the name. He's going to make a boatload of money by calling them the Washington Intercoms or whatever the hell he calls them. It's going to be win for Daniel Snyder.
Let's get to Jimmy's in Brockton. Jim, what's up, man?
Hey, yeah, so I can't believe this hasn't happened earlier. Only forget about the social climate immediately today. I mean, even last year, if the Redskins had made a run into the playoffs, the story wouldn't have been about the team. Instantaneously, the story would have been about which reporters in the national news are willing to say the word. And
Jim, I don't think that would have been true last year. Now, this season it would have been with how things have changed in this country, but I don't think that would have been the story last year.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think it was.
It already was a story when certain broadcasters came out at the beginning of the season last year and said weren't going to use the name.
Jim, there's been broadcasters, people in the media that have been not saying the Washington name for years.
Right, but the only reason it hasn't mattered is because the team hasn't been successful. So they would have been cursed if they made a Super Bowl run. All of a sudden, this team that hasn't been good in years, with fantastic colors, I might add, makes it to the Super Bowl, and nobody's talking about the fortunes of the team. Everybody instantaneously would have been forced into a discussion about the team name. The only reason it hasn't happened is because the team has been so terrible and nobody cares about them.
I guess Jim, I appreciate the phone call, but I guess I just disagree with him on the point. I don't believe last year, if they were in the postseason,
there would have been a story. Think about it. It's the Super Bowl. You got 2 weeks, and you're trying to find a story about anything and everything. The Redskin moniker would have been a story had they been good enough to get to the Super Bowl, but I don't think it would have been the overwhelming story by any chance.
Yeah, all the way to the Super Bowl, maybe it's a bigger story, but if they're just in the postseason, maybe it's a story on, like, outside the lines on Sunday morning.
Yeah, it's going to be a sidebar and a story. It's going to be a column from somebody somewhere, but it's not going to be. It's certainly not going to be, or it certainly wouldn't have been the story that it is right now because of the culture and the way things are, because of the way culture is right now in our lives.
Yeah, and Daniel Snyder has been fighting this for years, and this is the time where it seems like you would have leverage to get this deal done over Daniel Snyder with the times that we're currently living in. So now this is when it's going to change. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you. Let's get to Bill. He is in Brockton. Bill, what's up, man?
Hi, Bill.
Bill.
Oh, Bill, I wanted to talk to you, Bill. What? You screwed it all up, Bill. Damn you, Bill. Damn you to hell.
Come on, Bill. You got to be ready when we go to you. Be ready.
Be better than that, Bill. Be better.
Bill, this was your
time. We're ready.
Yeah, this is your time, Bill. All right, let's get to Kevin in Southampton. Kevin, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good. Hey, so I have like two opinions on this. One, first of all, let me put my windows up because that's going to really not. Anyways, my grandmother was a full-blooded Crow Indian.
Okay.
So I'm like one-fifth Crow Indian. I don't have an issue with the name of the Washington Redskins. What I have an issue with is if people have visited an Indian reservation ever, the poverty, the alcoholism, the way the school systems are, it's horrible. I don't have a problem. My school was, I went to Mohawk Trail in Shelburne Falls. Mm-hmm. And we were the Mohawk Warriors. That didn't bother me. The Redskins doesn't bother me. The plight of the Native Americans in this country has been completely forgotten about.
So, Kevin, let me hop in for a second. So, essentially, is what you're saying is that it's not the gesture that would help Native American people in this country now. It's actually doing things in those communities is what you're essentially getting to.
No, absolutely right. I mean, if you think about it, we should change a patriot's name then, because a lot of patriots own slaves.
That's a damn good point. But let's get Robert Kraft. Let's get Mr. Kraft on the phone. I agree with you, Kevin. What a horribly racist name. Hey, Kevin, I want to ask you this. You say you're not offended by it. What about other people in your family or friends who are Native Americans? Are they offended? How do they feel about the nickname?
We actually, believe it or not, when the Frontier, I think it was Frontier High School, had to change their name, there was no Native Americans that were protesting that. Mm. It was people doing it on behalf of Native Americans that didn't know.
And that's why I brought up the point, Kevin, of a poll, and Brian, I think you said it was in the 2016 Washington Post, where Native Americans were asked whether the name was offensive to them, and it was, what, 90-10 no?
Yeah, 90 no.
Yeah, and the problem is people that aren't Native American are just thinking it's offensive, and we're in this culture now that everything is offensive, right?
Right. But Kevin is a Native American, and I'm very few things offend me. Red skin, that does not. How does that not resonate to you as being offensive?
It just doesn't, because actually it doesn't. I mean, my uncle looks like a Native American. I do not. I'm white haired. I'm blonde haired, blue eyed. My uncle has all the features of a Native American. My mom did. I got the Italian-Irish side of the family, so I don't look like a Native American.
You poor bastard, you. Got to look like an Irishman. Oh, God. Now you know how I feel. Oh, look.
Hey,
so
Ken.
I got a lot of things going, right? So I'm Irish. So, you know what I mean? It's like literally there's part of my family that lives on the reservation in Montana. And if you go there, it's the saddest thing you'll ever see.
I've seen stories on the news. They've done things on 60 Minutes and other places, Kevin. And you're right. It's disgraceful.
So it's not about the name of the Redskins. It's about Native Americans the reservations. Think about it. An entire race of people were put, like the Japanese were during World War II.
In internment camps.
And so we did the same thing to Native Americans.
Yeah.
But yes, it's their land, but the conditions are deplorable. I don't know, and believe me, I'm a big, firm, big advocate of Black Lives Matters as well. So don't think that I'm not thinking about everybody. I am.
Yeah.
But the Native Americans in this country have been forgotten about for years.
Yeah, Kevin.
And nobody talks about it.
Hey, Kevin, really appreciate the phone call. Great perspective there. So it's a really good point that he brings up in terms of the fact that, all right, you can change the name, but... And he said he isn't offended on that. Obviously, he doesn't speak for every Native American, but he's saying that he's not offended for him. But what I took away from it is, in his mind, this is just a symbolic gesture.
Right.
And you do have a bigger problem that if Kevin didn't call, we don't get into
but
that today.
Now, maybe you can say, yeah, this is, and it's absolutely, I'm not even sure it's a symbolic gesture. I think it's a cash thing. If FedEx and Pepsi doesn't say anything, we're not having this discussion, but maybe the fact that we are having this discussion, that the name will eventually be changed, maybe that opens eyes to the things that Kevin has seen in his world in these various reservations around the country. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That maybe all of a sudden, well, wait a minute, Redskins, maybe all, much like Black Lives Matter has exploded and it has become bigger than life, maybe something, and it's opened the eyes of a lot of people to what black people have gone through the years. Maybe this does the same thing to Native Americans.
Yeah, it's a, you hope that it could be a jumping off point rather yes. than just changing the name and nothing.
And then
happens.
We move on, we sell a bunch of merchandise, and the rich get richer in Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, that was a really interesting perspective. 617-779.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was a good call.
Oh, you were talking about it. I thought you were talking about me. You were talking about
Well, you had a great perspective, too, but that was definitely interesting. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you up until 1 o'clock. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
93.7 FM.
All right, break. Brian Barrett. Wow, that was good.
What's your name again?
I think it's Brian.
It is Brian. It's not Blaisdell. It's no. Barrett.
Yeah. Well, I got my name wrong as well. Right. Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you up until...
Get my name right, all right? Yeah. That's all that matters, hey, Brian. My name right.
I got your name right. And so, but speaking of names, we were chatting about the Washington Redskins. Another thing that came down yesterday was, so the NFL is considering playing the black national anthem before games with the national anthem following that. Lift Every Voice and Sing is the name of the song. And my one takeaway from this is it just seems like to me that Roger Goodell, it seems like he's doing everything right now to look good from a PR perspective.
Pandering.
Right.
That's pandering is what he's doing.
That's what he did before, right? So when the players were kneeling and President Trump was calling him son of a bitches for kneeling, he had an issue with that. And Roger Goodell said, hey, all the players are going to stand or you stay in the locker room. Now the NFL Players Association, or a bunch of the players, remember they put out that video?
Yep.
And they asked Roger Goodell, the NFL, to apologize and say all this stuff. He said all that stuff. And now this seems like another time that he's doing it. And I juxtapose that with Adam Silver. Like, Silver is working with NBA players, and they're working together to figure things out.
See, they trust each other, but there's the difference,
exactly.
though. They trust each other. The players like and trust Adam Silver. The players don't like and don't trust Roger Goodell.
Right. So like with Silver, they came up with this idea where they want to wear messages on the back of their jerseys. Right. And a bunch of them they basically took a bunch of them and they passed them. And that's what the guys are going to wear on the back of their jerseys. But they came up with that idea. They talked to the commissioner. To your point, this feels like Goodell is just trying to do something for players in the league. And he thinks like, oh, this is going to be well received.
Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look at me. Yeah. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing everything for you guys.
Exactly my
point. And I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart.
Exactly my point. And I wonder, too, if part of this, which it's not going to happen, I wonder if part of this is he thinks, oh, maybe more players will stand for the national anthem if we play this one first. Is there any element to that with Roger Goodell that it could be a possibility?
Yeah. Oh, well, with Roger Goodell, anything is a possibility. Absolutely. Like I said, he's obviously pandering with it. He's obviously trying to get the players on his side. He's obviously trying to do the best PR that he can do for the National Football League and for the owners. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it. Do you?
No, I don't have an issue with it. I just feel like, as you mentioned, like we can kind of, or as you alluded to, we can kind of see through it, right? So
right.
I think what the issue is in the NFL.
Do you think the players see through it? I think the players.
I saw some of them being complimentary.
I think the players are smart enough where they see through it, but they also say, okay, we'll take it to start. We're going to go. We've got them by the balls now. Let's see what else we can get out of them.
And I think the thing that the players would want and ex-coaches around the league would look at is they would say, okay, well, you can do these things. It's great, but there's only two black GMs. There's only four minority head coaches right. in a league with 70 to 75% black players. I feel like going back to the symbolic gesture thing, that's probably how the players feel about this.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that the players are looking and saying, okay, it's nice to have a symbolic gesture, but what's next? What else are you going to do? What real change are you actually going to make to the game and to the league?
Exactly. All right, let's go to one of the best parts of the state, maybe the best part of the state, the North Shore. We'll check in with Ryan and Beverly.
Yeah.
What's up, Ryan?
It's average.
Average, hi.
It's no, I mean, Ryan, let's be honest, okay? It's no Metro West.
No, it's not. But right. I mean,
Ryan, come on, man. Have a little more fight for the North Shore, man.
I mean, give me Hopkinton, give me Natick, give me Holliston, give me Milford any day, baby.
Anyways, I have a couple of suggestions for the name change for the Redskins.
Oh. Sure.
I was thinking, you know, if we're really going to, like, go on this whole Native American thing and stuff, I was thinking maybe a bird name, because birds are a symbol of the Native Americans, and they're highly regarded as a symbol for our Native Americans.
How about so ravens? Want to do raven?
No. Oh. No, obviously there's already a name like that, but I'm saying, like, maybe Firehawks or Phoenix.
All right.
More specifically, Phoenix, because it's a symbol of, like, rebirth and new life, and it could also be a representation of the team itself, too, for a new beginning.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate the call, man. I feel like...
Your people.
Yeah.
That's your people right there, baby, okay?
He did not represent the North Shore well. I almost feel like Mike Francesa, and I want to say you waited on hold to say that. you notice whenever Mike Francesa gets something negative, he says, oh, you waited on hold 2 hours to say
you,
that?
So you waited 2 hours to say that? Loser.
Let's see if Joe in the car has something better. Joe, it can't be worse. Let's go.
No, it can't. Hey, guys, how are you? Great show today.
Hey, Joe, thanks. How you doing?
Good. Hey, my main point is next, but I just wanted to chime in quickly on that Black Anthem. I think a Black National Anthem separates us rather than brings us together. I mean, are we going to have a Native American anthem? Are we going to have a Jewish anthem, an Italian anthem? I think we should have one, even if it changes, and instead of saying, here's yours and then here's ours. But that said, Dickerson, before break, you made a kind of a throwaway comment about you poor bastard when you look Irish. Why is that okay? Why is the
Because I'm Irish, okay? So I can say I'm Irish.
Oh, that's how that works. Okay, yes. Well, how about the fighting Irish?
It's like I'm allowed to call my wife a bad word, but no one else can.
Fair enough.
Okay. You want to change fighting? You want to change? Dame. Do you want to change fighting Irish?
I'll start with this. Little offends me. I think we're becoming a nation of professional victims. If you want my honest opinion,
Joe, I agree with you 1,000%.
Okay, so yeah, I don't want the name changed, but I'm just saying it seems a little hypocritical where some things are okay to go and attack, and then others are kind of off limits or don't count. If you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying, and I will ask you the question. Joe, I agree with what you're saying. I know where you're going. I think you and I are on the same side in some things, but let me ask you this: Fighting Irish versus Redskins. Are they on the same level of offense?
Absolutely not. Redskin is something. There's actually more to that story about what Redskin means if you do a little research. It's pretty bad. Not even close. Redskins should go. It should have been gone a long time ago. I have no problem with that. There's certain things that need to go. I just think, in general, I mean, where are we going to get PETA involved because we have, you know, bird names? Just what's next, you know?
Yeah, Joe, I appreciate the phone call. I don't get the PETA comparison. Like,
well, I've heard the Fighting Irish thing before. I've heard that from people before.
Kellerman's been bringing that up for years. Max Kellerman's been bringing that one up for years, yeah.
Is he Irish?
I don't know.
Oh. See, I fully believe that if you're, you know, Italian, you can make Italian stereotypes. If you're Irish, you can, like, I can sit here and say that, you know, I'm not drunk off of Guinness.
Yeah, I'm Irish, and I'm not offended by Fighting Irish at all.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I also don't really see the comparison when you're comparing that.
Blaisdell is Irish? Sounds Italian.
I can't speak for Blaisdell, but I can speak
for Barrett. Okay.
Yeah, I can also speak for Brian.
Okay.
That's Irish as well. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on Cam Newton, do you think it's going to work in New England, or do you think this is going to be a failure? Plus, I want to get to one Celtics note next. One of their players may be gone for an extended period of time during the Orlando bubble. It could be costly. We'll tell you.
Please don't say it's not the Time Lord. Please say it's not the Time Lord.
Good news is it's not the Time Lord. God. It's not Brad Wanamaker either. You're listening to WEI.
It's something where it kind of is what it is. I think the opportunity to compete for a championship, play for a title, is something that I think a lot of us NBA players we want to do. We want to go down there and continue the season and trying to finish something that we worked for all year. I think there's definitely a lot to think about. Certainly also my wife being pregnant, you know, there'll be a time if and when we're down there and, you know, she's going to have the baby, I'm for sure going to go be with her. So that we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. But, I think it's something where competing for a title is, I guess, the number one thing here.
Is she due in September?
Yes.
So there's a possibility that if you go long enough that you might have to leave the team during the playoff run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a pretty easy decision for me on that. I've been at the birth of every one of my children, and I think there are more important things in life. So, like I said, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I know the NBA has a protocol in place for that type of thing, and hopefully it's I can do the quarantining and testing the appropriate amount of time, and then, you know, be back with the boys.
All right, that's Gordon Hayward of your Boston Celtics.
Come on, you've already had a couple of kids. Stay down there. You've been through it already. I understand.
It's his fourth, right?
Yeah, I understand. Is it his fourth?
Yeah, he's got three girls, and I believe this is a boy.
Oh, well, birth of a boy. It's the first one.
Well, he did say...
I understand being there for the first one, but the second and the third... It's like anything. It's like anybody I know who has multiple kids, they just obsess over the newborn, their first newborn. By the time they have their second and their third, that pappy just dropped on the ground for 10 seconds. I just pick it up and shove it in the kid's mouth. You would never do that with the first one. The second kid and the third kid, everything changes. Everything you did with the first one, you don't do with the second and third one, I found.
Well, I don't have an issue whatsoever with the decision that he's going to leave.
I do. Play basketball. Yeah. You're a basketball player, damn it. Forget the kids. Keep it in your pants.
If he wants to go, I have no issue with it. But he did kind of sound like almost aggravated when he was like, I guess the number one thing here is winning a title. So, that kind of is you're trying
your
to do when you're in Orlando. So he's upset about that. One thing I want to say, I feel like he almost got screwed here, right? Because his planning was good.
But it was great. September.
The baby's supposed to be born in September. Yeah. That's before training camp even opened up. Like he got screwed over here by the timing. So it's almost unfortunate for Gordon Hayward. And you know what I'm thinking, Greg? Knowing Gordon Hayward, considering, and this isn't, I'm not criticizing that, but the way his career's gone here, where it's been choppy, he's been injured. I feel like what's going to happen is he is going to be having his best stretch as a Celtic when his wife goes into labor and he's going to leave.
And I don't think anybody will blame him.
No, I
think everybody will be okay with it.
Right, I have no problem.
Because how long is it going to be? What is it? Is it a four-day quarantine after he comes back?
Yeah, that's the issue, right? So say hypothetically he leaves on Wednesday, the child's born on Thursday, and he's going to make sure he tests negative when he's there.
He's going to stay for a couple. He's obviously going to stay for a couple of days here.
So then he gets to go back to the bubble.
So you're talking about a week.
Yeah, and so the way this matches up is the Eastern Conference semifinals scheduled to begin no later than August 30th, and the East Finals scheduled to begin no later than September 15th. So he's either going to miss games in the semifinals, which would be hypothetically or probably against the Raptors, and then if you make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, you need all hands on deck against that juggernaut of a Milwaukee Bucks team. So, yeah, okay, he's not Jason Tatum. I understand that, but he's still, you have to ask, well, who's replacing him? Is it Ojeleye's getting his minutes?
Yeah, but is he, based on the way he's played, Brian, and I know everything is thrown out the window because of the pandemic and being off for 3 months, but is he really one of those guys that you can't replace for two or three games? I think you can, because you don't know what Gordon Hayward's going to show up. You just said it at the start of the segment.
Right.
He could be playing his best basketball. He could be playing some of his worst basketball. That's the one thing that we've seen out of Gordon Hayward, along with the injuries, is the inconsistency in his game.
Yeah. My one concern would be, okay, so if you play the Milwaukee Bucks, who they're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but say the Celtics get there, my one concern would be whoever's taking his minutes, even though Gordon Hayward has not been what you thought you were getting when you signed him, he's still a respected shooter, right? So if you play that Bucks team, he's in the corner. You got to have somebody on Gordon Hayward because he's shooting nearly 40% from three this year. If it's Ojeleye, does he command the same amount of respect? In that Bucks team, one of their weaknesses, they give up a lot of threes. So are they just saying, well, go ahead. It's not
Sammy, go ahead and shoot.
Yeah, go ahead and take a three. Or do they say, like, is Langford going to get burned in the postseason? Is it Javonte Green? I just feel like it's the fact that there is, after the top six on this team, right? I feel like there's a big dip off after your six best players. And look, the big men are a different conversation. They're not replacing Hayward. And the other thing I look at with Hayward, he's a damn good creator with the basketball. He's second on this team in assists. There's not a lot of other guys that break you down and pass. Like Tatum is working on that element of his game, and he's great. This isn't anything about Tatum, but he's more of a scorer. Hayward's a really good facilitator for this team.
Why do you think that so many people have jumped on this bandwagon? jumped on the Celtics bad. We talked about this off the air briefly, but it seems like they are the darling of the national media all of a sudden.
It's something that I can't wrap my head around. So the first part is this. There's this idea that because Giannis lost last year in the postseason,
yep,
that the Toronto Raptors like solved the MVP of the league because, okay, the Raptors beat them four games in a row. Well, let me ask you this, Greg. This is what they did last year, the Raptors. They said, okay, we have maybe the best perimeter defender of all time, right? He's up there with the Scottie Pippins of the world, Kawhi Leonard. Yep. So that guy's going to cover Giannis. And then behind Giannis, we're going to take Marc Gasol, who's a former Defensive Player of the Year, and he's basically playing center field. So anytime that Giannis passes him, Marc Gasol's in there. So I just don't...
Look at the wall, basically.
Right. I don't understand who on the Celtics is going to step in front of that guy. And then who's going to play the Marc Gasol role? Like, there's this idea that Giannis, they figured him out in the playoffs. Well, yes, the Raptors did. But that team was one of the greatest defensive teams we've seen in the past decade. So I don't understand how the Celtics match up with them. The only way I see them beating them is they have to completely outscore them.
I don't love the Celtics against a potential Philadelphia matchup. And I know a lot of people laugh, oh, Philly, they suck. They're so dysfunctional. But they give the Celtics such headaches because of their size.
Yeah, I would hate to see them in the first round. And good thing for the Celtics is hopefully they can avoid that because them and the Pacers go into this thing with identical records. The Pacers just have them in a tiebreaker, and the Pacers are going in there without Victor Oladipo. So maybe the Sixers end up jumping them, which would make life a whole lot easier for the Celtics because if you look at it that way, I don't believe the Celtics can beat the Bucks. But I believe if somebody in the East has a shot at it, maybe Philly can be like your muscle, so to speak. Like Philly can go out and take out the Bucks for you because Philadelphia's got the size more so than the Celtics to match up with those guys.
I just have a bad feeling we're not even going to get to this point.
The bubble's bursting.
I think the bubble is bursting. If you had asked me 3 weeks ago, they'll get through this whole thing. They'll have eight guys who test positive or 12 guys. And I know the testing that they just had a couple of days ago, it was a low percentage. But based on what's happening in so many parts of this country and the potential for the pandemic to sort of rear its ugly head again the way that it did in March and April, I'm not convinced that we're getting to September. I'm not convinced that we're going to have to worry about Gordon Hayward playing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, that would really suck, too. And it would suck less for the Celtics than the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks, because the Celtics, like, it's just starting now with Tatum and that group of guys. But to your point, that's why when I look at the NHL, they may have figured this thing out, because I thought at first the NBA's got the plan. Like, they set up where they wanted to go, but then it turns out...
Florida at the time was Florida's clean.
And the NHL said, okay, let's hold back. And at the time, I'm like, they got 12 possibilities for cities. What's going on? And the more I thought about it as time went on, it's like, this makes perfect sense because they're waiting to see where it's going to be, where the cases are low. And they picked two Canadian cities in Toronto.
Out of nowhere, by the way.
Yeah, and it looks like in Canada, they've done a really good job with this. And I feel like now, when I thought the NBA had the best chance, in my mind, it's the NHL that has the best chance at finishing this thing up. Now, I'm still wondering, what do they do for the Stanley Cup Final? Do they pick Edmonton or Toronto?
I would think so.
They're going to Edmonton.
They're going to Edmonton for the Stanley Cup Final. Okay.
They are. Why are they going to Edmonton for the Stanley Cup Final? I didn't know that.
I don't know. Bob McKenzie tweeted a couple days ago.
Oh.
So the team from Toronto, the team that comes out of the East would go there. But yeah,
there might be a lower infection rate. That's one of my only guesses. There may be a lower infection rate right now in Edmonton as opposed to Toronto.
Yeah. Now, one thing that came up this week in terms of the NBA, if this does happen, I know you think the bubble's bursting and you got me thinking pretty
neat. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Brian, you don't understand. You really don't understand how desperate I am for NBA basketball and how much I need it. I it's killing me.
Oh, I love it too.
I love sports. I want to watch. Oh, Freddie Freeman test positive for coronavirus. It is a wet dream of mine to be able to sit there and realize that I'm going to watch 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Now I'm just going to watch boom, 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 all these games back to back to back to back to back to back. From down in Florida, just an afternoon. It's one thing to be able to watch six games at 8 o'clock at night. It's another thing when you were a degenerate basketball fan like me to be able to watch a game at 1 or 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. It's great.
I'm the same way, man.
I hope that it happens.
I love the NBA. I hope it happens as well. To the point. So Shaq said like it wouldn't be legitimate. Draymond Green this week said, yeah, people are always going to say, well, this is the COVID-19 championship. Now,
of course, they will.
if one,
it's I don't think it's illegitimate though. I think it's very legit.
It's one thing if like the Bucks are in the Eastern Conference Finals and like four guys have coronavirus, right?
Right.
So, but with that exception out, let's just say for the Lakers and the Bucks, in my mind, it's actually more difficult to win as a higher seed than it's ever been because you have no home games. Like, right, you fought all season to get home court advantage, and you know, as an NBA fan, it's in the NBA, the home court is so much bigger than any other league. Bottom line, it's just the home court advantage, home field advantage, however you want to put it, way bigger in the NBA. And now you get none of that at all. You get no games at home the entire time. So it does, I don't want to say even the playing field because in the NBA, the superstars always get there, but it makes it more difficult.
But it kind of does because it evens it in certain aspects because you don't know how these players are going to play. You don't know what kind of shape they're going to be in. You know, even if they're in basketball shape, you don't know what kind of playing shape they're going to be in. Are they going to be able to shoot well? Is it going to take LeBron James and
Anthony Davis.
My brain is 4 hours with Andy Hart and Rob Bradford has just ripped apart my brain. But you look at Anthony Davis, LeBron James, or you go to any of the teams, Giannis and Eric Bledsoe or anybody, Chris Middleton. You don't know how long it's going to take them to get into a rhythm. I mean, how many times do you see teams at the start of a regular season kind of suck because they haven't developed that chemistry, they haven't developed that rhythm? I mean, these guys haven't played together, practiced together in 3 months. It may take some of these teams, some teams may be further ahead of other teams early on, and that may knock off a Celtics team. It may knock off a Milwaukee or a Los Angeles or a Clippers or somebody like that.
Well, to your point, it's been, 3 months? So we're in a place where you've basically had an entire offseason. So it is. Brad Stevens mentioned this the other day. It's basically a whole new season. One thing that I would look at, too, is some of these rookies that are going into the bubble, like, they've had this time, and I know there's restrictions on what you can do, but they know, like, coming off this season, what they have to do. Like, some of these rookies may actually take a step forward, like Zion and Ja Morant. They may actually be better than they were three months ago. And apparently Morant's put on muscle, and
Zion?
Oh, my God. He looks shredded. He looks absolutely shredded. I don't buy the Morant 12 pounds thing, though. I feel like that just came out like 2 days after Zion's pictures went up. Like,
are you trying to say it's hard to gain 12 pounds?
It's hard to gain 12 pounds of muscle.
No, it's not. Oh, of muscle. Of muscle. Yes.
It's not hard to gain 12 pounds, but of muscle. So I kind of feel like his camp planted that story, or he basically said it himself. They put it out there right after Zion just so happened to put those pictures up. All right, I do have one concern for the Celtics other than Gordon Hayward. I want to get to that real briefly, but I want to get back to Cam Newton as well. What are your expectations for Cam in New England? The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you right here on the 4th of July on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.